Hello, here we are again with another program. We're looking at the subject of stress. We're looking at the life of Elijah. Elijah is called the Tishbite. That means a strange one. And anybody who's going to stand up in the age of apostasy and do what is right is going to be considered a strange one. Stay tuned. Looking in 1 Kings chapter 18, it says in verse 1, it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." Well, go show thyself unto Ahab. Now we have another stressful test here for Elijah. So we read in verse number 2, Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. In verse number 2, it mentions Elijah, and then in verse number 3, we have a reference to Ahab and Obadiah. Now, Elijah, we'll call him a mountaineer. Ahab, we'll call him a monarch. And Obadiah, we'll call him the middleman. Obadiah was the governor of Ahab's house. Now, it says here, now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Now, it takes a little study here to see what's going on. Some have represented Obadiah as being a good man. Quite frankly, I don't have much respect for Ahab. I have no respect for him at all, but I have even less for Obadiah. Obadiah was a hypocrite. It says here he feared the Lord, but that word has been translated afraid 3 times, and it has been translated fearful in Judges chapter 7 and verse number 3. Now, I would fear the Lord greatly too. I would be afraid of the Lord if I was doing the biddings of Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel, if I was hiding prophets in a cave who should have been out there standing with Elijah. I would be very afraid of the Lord. And so when it says Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, it means here he was greatly afraid of the Lord. Well, in verse number 4, it says, "For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water." In verse 5, we read, "And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land, unto all fountains of water, and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and the mules alive, and we do not want to lose the beasts," he said. Well, people are starving to death. It hadn't rained for 3 years, and they're concerned about horses. Now, Ahab was king in Israel, and Ahab knew very well in Deuteronomy 17 and verse number 6, God said, "I don't want you gathering horses." Horses were gathered together to battle, to pull their chariots in war. God says, some trust in horses and some trust in chariots. I want you to trust in me. Well, they didn't want to trust in God. They're going to trust in their horses. So here's Ahab and Obadiah out here looking for some water and some grass so they could save the horses. Well, it says in verse 6, "So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it, and Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him." Yeah, he knew him. He remembered him from 3 years ago when he walked into the king's palace there and said, "It hasn't been raining because I prayed it wouldn't." Well, he knew him, and it says that Obadiah fell on his face and said, "Art thou that my Lord Elijah?" My Lord Elijah? Elijah wasn't fooled by this hypocrite. He says in verse number 8, he answered him and said, "Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here." Obadiah's first concern is for himself. He says in verse 9, "What, have I sinned that thou wouldst deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth," thy God, that's very interesting. At least he's being a little more honest here. He wasn't Obadiah's God. "As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord," he's getting it straight now, "hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation, and they found thee not." And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. And the hypocrite says, was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. Well, what do we know about Obadiah? We know he was a servant of the most wicked king that ever reigned in Israel. We know he did not trust God, and he did not trust Elijah. We know he was self-absorbed. We know he influenced prophets to hide in the cave when they should have been up on the mountain helping Elijah at that time. And we know that we never hear about Obadiah again after this story. What do we know about the 100 prophets, those cowards in the cave? Nothing. We don't know their names. We don't know of any accomplishments that they made. We know they were hiding when they were most needed. They were not on Mount Carmel. Elijah said that he was there, the only one there. The 100 cowards in the cave, they were doctrinally correct. In fact, God had another 7,000 who were doctrinally correct and had not bowed the knee of Baal. But where were they when they were needed? Years ago, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said to his congregation, I know of no surer way of a people's perishing than by being led by one who does not speak out straight and honestly denounce evil. If the minister halts between two opinions, do you wonder that the congregation is undecided? If the preacher trims and twists to please all parties, can you expect his people to be honest? If I wink at your inconsistencies, will you not soon be hardened in them? Like priest, like people. A cowardly preacher suits hardened sinners. Those who are afraid to rebuke sin or to probe the conscience will have much to answer for. May God save you from being led into the ditch by a blind guide. Well, Elijah understood that he was up against one of these blind guides when he was talking to Obadiah. Well, we read in verse number 15, and Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him, unto Ahab, today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Verse 17, we read, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? He answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that thou have that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and hath followed Balaam. Now therefore, Ahab, he says, Elijah says to Ahab, now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. And Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah said unto all the people, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first. For ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, And they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Well, Elijah steps in verse 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time, and the water ran round about the altar and filled the trench also with water. Now, you're not going to get anything that's soaking wet to burn. Well, we'll see. Verse 36 says, It came to pass at that time, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Now that's very interesting, because when he first went before Ahab, you remember he says, it's not going to rain at my word. Well, you remember God sent Elijah out into the wilderness for his training in humility, and he got it. It says now, I am the servant, I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, he said in verse 37, hear me that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let none of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up and drink, for the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself upon the earth with his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked, and he said, There's nothing. And he said, Go again 7 times. And it came to pass on the 7th time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up and say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab unto the entrance of Jezreel. What a tremendous story we have here in the Bible. Now we come to chapter 19. I wish it wasn't in the Bible, but it is. God doesn't hide the shortcomings of his heroes. We see that Elijah comes to another stress test, and this time he fails miserably. We're going to look at it in our next program. Be sure and tune in.